Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 23. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark, the 11th chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will enter it. You will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'What are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' He will send it back here immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, he saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our hymn is a new but a beautiful paraphrase of Psalm 24 that brings all of the New Testament into the Old Testament, to bring all of the fulfillment by Jesus Christ into the old Psalm number 24, of course, which Jesus fulfills and which is alluded to in today's reading. But what is fantastic about today's reading in Mark's gospel is how much it brings out of the Old Testament, how much it shows what people do seem to recognize, what people don't seem to recognize in that day, and what Jesus recognizes in everything, how he is fulfilling the prophecies about him, how he is coming and preaching the same prophetic word to his people that the prophets of old had preached. First, there is all the business about the donkey, the colt, the very specific kind of animal that is named here, which is mentioned in two places at least in the Old Testament, that your king will come to you righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, the colt, the foal of the beast of burden. So also the word that was spoken elsewhere about the scepter that would never depart from Judah's line until there is somebody riding upon this colt. All of this says, here is the Lord. In fact, our scripture comes out and says it. What is the answer? Well, the Lord has need of it. Who is the Lord who has asked for this animal? It's the man Jesus Christ. Thus, even Jesus is admitting that he is the Lord right here to those who have ears to hear it. But of course, he comes as someone much greater. He comes as a king. Our hymn says kind of naturally that his steed points him out as a king. But of course, that takes a lot of explanation. No king rides in on a donkey. This is some kind of comical king. He is in no way like the great kings of old that had ridden into Jerusalem, like Alexander the Great met with the priests and all the others, like Alexander the Great who goes up to offer his sacrifice, which maybe no Jew wants to see. Our Lord comes and pronounces a curse on the place of sacrifice. Our Lord comes and he is the center of attention, but not the sacrifice that he makes. All of this shows us from the Old Testament that he is the king, particularly the quotation from Psalm 118, Hosanna, or as it comes across in our 118, save, Lord, a great translation, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, this one who not only comes with the blessing of God, not only comes with any anointing from God, but who is himself the Lord, as we heard a moment ago. And something unique in Mark, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. How close they are to getting it right. They know that their father David has a future, that the Lord has promised that of the fruit of David's body he will set upon his throne forever. And yet they do not see that this coming kingdom is here. And that the purpose of this king is not to destroy the enemies of Rome, not to create some mighty scepter place, but in fact to be the focal point of his people as the Lord among them, present, and to show his mighty kingship not by sitting on a great throne of gold, but on the throne of the cross, like our hymn says so naturally. The people cut down leafy branches. We know they're palm branches from the other accounts. And that seems pretty flashy. It's certainly one of the flashiest services that we have when the palms are waved on Palm Sunday. But just a couple verses later, the Lord sees leaves again on the fig tree. Leaves only, and not the point of a fig tree, the figs themselves, the fruit that should come from a tree. And the Lord is unimpressed. The Lord pronounces a curse on the fig tree. Leaves were used once more in the scriptures, were they not? When Adam and Eve sought to cover themselves, and the Lord was not impressed then either. This cursing of the fig tree, which seems so strange to us, especially since the gospel comes out and tells us this is not the time to find figs anyway, the Lord seems to be acting a little unfairly, maybe, is all a testament to what lies between it. And that is the clearing out of the temple and the pointing away from all the things that are necessary for sacrifice. Here is how, if our Lord were some ordinary, wonderful, earthly king, he would have come in and offered many sacrifices. He would have paid those sellers and buyers and money changers richly. He might have still cast away the pigeons because he could have afforded the bulls. He would have claimed whatever he needed to as a king and made sure that he made a great show of it. But it is the show that our Lord despises. It is the show that our Lord has despised, in fact, all throughout the scriptures as his prophets preach against Israel, against even the temple of the Lord. He says here, is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of robbers? How could you say that? There's no robbery going on here. There's all the business of sacrifice. There is, great wealth that is being pushed into the service of God here. And yet the Lord says it's empty and wicked. This is what Jeremiah prophesied also in chapter 7. He said that all of the things going on in God's house are lies and abominations before the Lord. It's still happening in the Lord's house, even with the Lord's name, but it is serving the Baals and the other false gods. It is covering over murder and robbery and wickedness. That's when the Lord says this saying that is quoted here, "You've turned my temple into a den of robbers." He says a moment later that he is going to make that place like Shiloh, which is a curse. Shiloh was the place where the Ark of the Covenant had come to rest for a while, but then was vacated. The Ark never returned to Shiloh. In fact, the place of Shiloh was razed under Saul's rule, and no one will be heard there. To go to Shiloh and to pray to the Lord, to seek his Ark and his presence, is to go to a false place and to not have the Lord hear you. It's quite a dramatic thing for him to clear out the temple. It not only is to make room for the Gentiles, as he alludes to, it's not only that Jesus is upset about dirty money being changing hands and commercialism dishonoring the Lord's church. It is that he is dealing with a people who honors him with their lips while their hearts are far from him. A people who has all of the leafy show of religion going on, but none of the faith that is at the heart of it. And thus he is signaling that, yes, not Shiloh or one of the temporary places, but the Mount of Zion, the temple of the Lord, the place where his presence was to be sought and his sacrifices to be offered, is coming to an end. It is already desolate and empty, because there is no faith in the Lord there. And thus, there's no sacrifice today from Jesus the King. He is the temple. He will be the sacrifice. He will be the center of everyone's faith and of our prayers. The point of the obsolescence of Jerusalem and the temple, which is so central if you read the Old Testament, you see the Lord is displeased with worship at Bethel. This is his conversation also with the woman at the well. It makes sense that Jerusalem should be the place where we worship, where the Lord is present. But now he is seeking those who worship in spirit and truth. And the point is not that we can worship God anywhere. It's not really the point that we can worship God in any way that we want. It is that God wishes to be known and to be worshiped in Jesus Christ and in his words. In today's text, that is still happening in the temple. But above all, it will soon be happening in his cross, in his death, in the place where he is praying for the forgiveness of his people, where he is shedding his sacrificial blood to redeem those, even those who would have rejected him, and praying for them to convert. This is then the last part of our text. When Peter remembers what happens, kind of is excited that Jesus cursed this tree and it worked, and maybe thinks he's going to get some cursing power too. And the Lord says something that sounds a bit strange, that he wants them to have faith in God, that they would even have the power to move mountains. I think it's helpful to see how specific the Lord's words are, that he is saying whoever says to this mountain, that is the temple mountain, throw it away, let it be destroyed, and yet believes that what the Lord says will come to pass, it will be done for him. It's a tremendous change for those who were Jews to see that the place of worship is gone. The Jewish religion shows to this day how desolate it can be when you have lost the presence of your God in the place of sacrifice. But for those who trust in Jesus Christ, this is not a problem. For those who can see that the temple with its great stones has passed away, and the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, in fact, always has been filling the sacrifices of old, and are the reason that Solomon had established a place to turn to find the Lord's presence, and to seek his mercy and the forgiveness of sins. This purpose is found in Jesus Christ. This is found in his words. And this is why he says in verse 25, whenever you, Christians, those who are called by my name, those who are following and looking to me and my sacrifice for you, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses, just as I have said from my cross also. It is the case that the Solomonic purpose of the old temple is found and fulfilled in Jesus and his words. That is where we find our King. That is where we worship him. That is where we direct our prayers. Yes, that is where to this day we still sing the old hymn, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the Lord, name of the Lord, who blesses us with his forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.